embracing the commons is not only a technical issue. It's a huge process which implies a deep transformation of our own rationalities. For example, one big shift concerns time. Today, we have really a linear view of time in which progress lies ahead and there is only one direction. And we have to move from a resource culture to process valuation.
This is Frontiers of Commoning with David Bollier.
The Western world has long promoted development as a high-minded mission to bring capitalist markets and growth to impoverished areas of the world, especially the global south. But what if development were seen not just as a matter of creating and strengthening markets, but of strengthening social collaboration and creative empowerment as well? What if it were used to help people meet their needs directly and share the benefits? In short, what if development agencies supported commoning? That's exactly what one national development agency, the French Development Agency, or AFD, is actively exploring. To talk about this fascinating challenge, my guest today is Stéphanie Leyrenas. She's a research fellow specializing in the commons at AFD, who has extensive experience assisting water and sanitation programs in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. For the past 5 years, Leyrenas has worked with an internal expert network at AFD to investigate how the agency might actively support commoners in Africa. The goal? To improve stewardship of land, access to water and energy, urban commons, digital commons, and the so-called collaborative economy. Many of the things Leyrenas has learned can be found in a 2023 book of essays that she co-edited, The Commons, Drivers of Change and Opportunity in Africa. Stéphanie, it's so wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here with you today.
I'm very curious to learn the story of how a development agency came to see the potential of the commons in helping to spur human development. Could you talk about how this process got started at AFD?
Thank you very much for the question. So it started with one concern, the need to challenge our old model based on center and periphery. Let me just explain that very quickly. If you look at how development aid has been constructed, you will see that the main principle is really the idea of a center and a periphery. Some countries are seen as part of the first cycle of prosperity, and others are seen as lagging behind. It means that development is really seen as a move from what we call traditional to modern, and change is really expected to come from outside. In concrete terms, this means that the project that AFD or other development banks are financing tend to focus mainly on infrastructures, entrepreneurship, and market and institutional reforms, privatization, deregulation, and public-private partnerships. I'm sure that we will go back to that. It was really needed to question this model. We were thinking that the idea of the commons could really challenge us because we saw that local communities in Africa, Latin America, and elsewhere are very creative. And the commons is really the idea that innovation does not flow only from the north to the south, but it comes from the ground. That's why we were very interested in working on the commons. And the second reason, maybe it's the opportunity we had in 2015 with Gaël Giraud, who became our chief economist from 2015 to 2019. He really played an important role in giving institutional visibility to the commons at AFD. He was convinced that development could be questioned through commons lens.
That's so interesting that an economist within a major economic development agency could see the potential of the commons, because most economists come out of a very orthodox training and perspective on the world. How did Gaël Giraud happen to see the commons and the potential of it?
Well, he had an experience in Africa first. Galileo is also a Jesuit, and he was working on the link between common good and the history of the church. So I think he had this sensibility on this issue. But what you must have in mind is that after his departure, interest in the commons did not disappear. And I think it's really important because Galileo was at the top hierarchy level. So he was able to say, okay, we have to work on commons. It's really important to work on commons. But after his departure, we kept on working on commons, even if we didn't have a chief economist supporting the topic.
Maybe you could describe the scope of activity of the French Development Agency and how the commons fit into it, because obviously AFD is doing a lot of traditional development work as well. But tell me about the scope of the work and how the commons became a part of the agenda.
So at the beginning, I must admit that when Galileo said that the commons could be a very transverse topic to AFD activities, reactions inside AFD were very mixed. Some colleagues saw the commons as really too theoretical or politically sensitive, and others saw them as a very useful way to rethink development practices. So to structure all these discussions within AFD, we organized first huge international conference on development in December 2016 on the commons, and we gathered a lot of researchers, a lot of activists, all together to work on the potential of the commons on development policies. Then many publications followed, and soon after we on an internal working group to bring together about, I would say, 20 persons, so it's not so much, but 20 persons from research and operational departments. And the aim was really to align research priorities with field practices. So regarding research, because I am speaking from the research department, I stress this point. At the beginning, the first research projects that were carried out focused more on identifying commons in key sectors in the global south: natural resource management, employment, health, transport, and so on. And this work really revealed a great diversity of commons. But at the same time and in parallel, we developed also a broader reflection on what we call global commons. At a more macro level, this notion of global commons helped clarify AFD's overall position, because we try to see how the idea of global commons complement the notion of global public goods on which the AFD's narrative has been built.
Well, that's so interesting, the contrasting of public goods or global public goods and the commons, because public goods, of course, is a term of standard economics. Commons is more dismissed as the tragedy of the commons. So the very category of common assets or commons as a social system didn't find a place within standard economics. So you were trying to expand your intellectual or philosophical frame here. Is that correct?
It's completely correct. And I must say that at that time, we are in 2018, 19, AFD produced a strategic policy document saying that all the action and all the project financed by AFD would prevent the global commons. We shifted our narratives from the global public goods to the global commons. I'm not sure that AFD was fully aware of what it was meaning saying that, but we tried to push another concept on the development area to replace the narrative on global public good that has been pushed since maybe 2010, and especially by the World Bank.
In doing this, did AFD regard this as a line of inquiry that was complementary to the traditional ways of doing development, or as something that might be a long-term threat to it? Perhaps it would be too provocative for it to regard it as a threat, or maybe you just saw that they could coexist side by side.
Well, I think that for the moment, we are more on the idea to make both coexist and to have, as far as possible, a pragmatic way to proceed. So that's why we moved from the idea of commons to the idea of what we call a commons-based approach. And a commons-based approach is much how to put commoning within the existing constraints we have with our existing system. So just to give more details about that and maybe an example so that it will be maybe a little bit more clear, we are thinking that commons can reshape how we think about public actions and public-private partnerships. We really think that commons can change how we see the role of users and citizens. So we don't want to analyze commons only as governance arrangements, but we would like to place collective action at the center of institutional design. And it is really what we call commons-based approach. We really have evolved, even in terms of vocabulary, from the commons to commons-based approach. So this commons-based approach is something that is not fixed in advance. It is really a process. It starts from a collective action problems. It identifies the resources involved, the actors who depend on them, and it creates spaces for action.
Well, I would love some examples, because a lot of people might be saying, well, this is an abstract discussion. What does it look like on the ground?
I can give you an example of a common-based approach. We are supporting a project in Brazil that we call the Brazil Participativo Project, which was developed with the University of Brasilia. So maybe just to give the context of Brazil, you know, since the 80s, participatory mechanisms really weakened in Brazil. And in 2022, a new government came to power, and the democratic renewal became a political priority. It is in this context that Brazil Participativo has been developed. Brazil Participativo is a national platform which is used by the government for main participatory processes, and it is based on Decidim software, the well-known Decidim software, which is an open source software developed in Europe. And the project that we are implementing asks whether Brazil Participativo as a participatory tool can become a digital common. That means shared real governance, shared rules, shared evolution, and so on. So how can this platform reduce participation inequality? How can we strengthen political inclusion? How can we renew relations between the states and the citizens? And so on and so on. So you see, we take a tool which is used by the state as a participatory tool, and we are trying to implement some commons principle in this tool.
So instead of being so blunt as, is it a commons or not, a commons-based approach allows a growing into or becoming a commons. And it seems like the goal is to fill a void that the state or the market maybe is not filling. In the book that you co-edited, The Commons, you write, given the mixed views about the effectiveness of public governance and market dynamics, The Commons provides a theoretical framework and proposes a number of operational cases to move away from the public-private dichotomy. So it sounds like this is an experiment of getting outside of either market or state-based solutions as the primary focus.
Yeah, that's completely right. We are really trying to identify within the commons the key principles that should guide our actions and should guide also actions of public authorities and of development banks.
You gave a lecture that I saw online as a video in which you described the shift that this perspective requires. And I thought it was very insightful the way you named it, as commons move production into spaces of collective debate and shared purpose that go from efficiency logic to shared responsibility, from expertise, from outsiders often, to knowledge pluralism, as you call it, from contracts to collective engagement, and from deliverables to long-term sharing. I found that so interesting and provocative because it really shifts some basic dynamics of how the Western economic mind thinks about how to achieve results and to meet people's needs.
Yeah, that's right. Embracing the commons is not only a technical issue. It's a huge process which implies a deep transformation of our own rationalities. We have to understand our own rationalities as a development bank to be able to embrace fully the commons. Otherwise, we won't be able to do it. So if we look more into details, in conventional development, rationality is, as you said, economic, legal, institutional, temporal, epistemic in a very narrow sense. It is based on individualization, formalism, predictability. We are promoting standardization and we usually promote exclusive property regimes. As you said, really present efficiency and, but I would add, control over nature as universal values. And maybe more importantly, we consider alternative practices as irrational. And mm-hmm. I think that embracing the commons means that it's totally different. A commons-based rationality is totally different. So when we are embracing the commons, we have to shift our rationalities and it has direct operational consequences for AFD. For example, one big shift concerns time. Today, we have really a linear view of time and we have to move away from this linear view of time in which progress lies ahead and there is only one direction. And we have to move from a resource culture to process valuation. You know that donor action is really guided by project logic. Goals are predefined. We have indicators that are fixed. We usually have some evaluations happening in advance or at the end. And commons evolve really differently. Open-ended processes with deliberation, adaptation. So a commons-based approach for a donor like AFD must value empowerment, organizational innovation, narrative change, and so on and so on. So you see, we have to shift our relation to time. The second big shifting concerns space because shifting rationalities implies a change in the role of the funder because donors often maintain a big distance with their partners because we think that it's a way to preserve objectivity of our projects and it's not really the case. We are fully embedded in power relations. We are carrying our own value and constraints. So a commons-based approach therefore implies a more embedded postures and sharing constraints. And the last one, it's our relation to knowledge because usually we like international experts and going through commons-based approach means mobilizing local knowledge instead. So it's a question of epistemology too.
Well, this is a rather bold departure, of course, because it's not just tweaking policies or introducing a new intervention. You're talking about time, space, and knowledge, which amounts to a rather elemental basic worldview that is being called into question. I can imagine it would be a challenge for AFD and other development people. Tell me, did you try to change the understandings of that within AFD and colleague institutions? And then did the people with whom you're working in Africa or other countries welcome this as, oh, finally, people are starting to understand us on our terms? How did you coordinate those two and address those different, essentially, worldviews?
Maybe there is something that we have to precise at this stage of the conversation, is that AFD's engagement with the commons is really a modest laboratory of the commons. I'm talking in my name and not in the name of the institution here. And the word laboratory is important for me because it really refers to a small but collective, experimental, and reflexive space within AFD with these few colleagues. This is really a space where my colleagues, and especially my operational colleagues, my colleagues who are in the operational departments, so who are financing projects every day in water, in energy, and in housing. So a space where we can rethink our way of working, our methods, and our relationships with the community. So I think that what we are doing we could say, a commons-based approach for AFD. This dynamic depends mainly on very committed individuals inside the organization. It's not easy every day. It's really a question of relationships and on commitment of people.
It sounds like you would need a close, small community of colleagues to work through some of these basic issues. In the concluding chapter of your book, you talk about how funders' attitudes, perceptions, and actions need to change. You describe a mindset of rationality, individualization, utilitarianism, formalism, predictability, and linear time to a different mindset of cooperation, shared property, constant experimentation, and particular social and ecological contexts. I've experienced this myself in my studies of the commons, of having to escape the shackles of some Western acculturation that, of course, I grew up with, to understand how the commons is almost pre-modern, not in a negative way, but in a way that a lot of modern ways have put into the background. And it's a process of unlearning a lot of my modern habits, as well as learning something that feels intuitively the right way to move. I've just described this in a very abstract, distant way, but tell me how experientially this works out in towns or communities or among commons groups in, say, Africa.
Maybe I can give you the example of the issue of land commons in Africa, because we have an internal group working hard on the issue of land commons in West Africa, and the position of AFD is quite different from the World Bank position in West Africa. As you know, in the African society, they have long developed collective systems to regulate access to land, to water, to forest, to pastoral resources. And these systems are really adaptive and they can be very, very strong. But at the colonial time and post-colonial time, land policies disrupted this arrangement and they imposed formal property regimes based on private ownership and state sovereignty. So in many West African countries now, we have the situation where customary land rights coexist with formal property regimes. And in these situations, communities often develop hybrid systems of land governance by combining local norms, customary authorities, and formal legal frameworks. So it's quite complicated. It's what we call dual legalism. So you have two systems, two regimes competing on the same territories.
Competing or cooperating?
Well, collaborating sometimes, competing sometimes, it depends. And you will see that the World Bank, for example, really imposes the universal model through individual titling. And AFD will have another position, completely different position. And we will try to secure commoning land access through legal support. So you see, we have two different positions, and more personally speaking, we try to work with some researcher, with the CIRAD, a French research laboratory, to produce really an operational guide, so very operational, not research, operational, on how to adopt a commons-based approach in development project, which includes land issues. So that's a really a concrete example of how the small group within AFD can work. We can produce research to understand what's happening in the territory and to have a clear vision without imposing universal model to adopt this commons-based approach as easily as possible.
Does the customary commons-based approach to law or management have a co-equal standing with the formal Western-type law, or is it kind of a carve-out or delegation of power to those commons? In other words, how do they coexist?
They coexist because the commons of land and natural resources, including inside their own rules, the fact that there is a legal framework and there are some legal constraints. So they are within the system, but there is no delegation. They are free to fix their rules and to decide which rules will be put in place.
I find this so fascinating and even relevant to a lot of experiments in Europe for so-called commons public partnerships at the municipal level, because here in a totally modern Western context, there's also what I would call an onto clash, an ontological clash between the commoners and the state authorities, which tend to have a bureaucratic, rational, one-size-fits-all mindset. And so it's an analogous challenge in those European situations to what you might be encountering in West Africa.
I think that this issue of commons public partnerships is really central for us. It's really a huge question because as far as commons are concerned, it is really important to be clear about one thing concerning AFD is that we mostly do not work directly with commons. When we want to support commons-based initiatives, we have to go through public entities. And these public entities are putting in place the project that we are financing. And we can go through public entities either at the national level or at the local level. So we need to work hard on the relationship between public entities and the commons to be sure that the commons will not be harmed. So your remark is very, very important. And we are fully aware of the risks behind this relationship between public entities and commons.
Let me float an idea past you, because in my own explorations of commons public partnerships, I've come to the conclusion that it might be worthwhile to develop what I call an intermediary or buffer between the public authorities and the commons to sort of have the equivalent of a diplomatic mission or embassy, where there's a neutral third space where one side, namely the state, with its law on its side and resources and claimed authority, versus the commoners who don't have that recognition within conventional nation-state jurisprudence. In other words, having a third space to help grow a new shared space instead of having a bilateral conversation where one side is flexing its muscle and power, maybe to the detriment of commoners. What's your reaction to that idea?
I think it's a really great idea. For the moment, we didn't experiment that directly, but maybe we experiment that in a very modest way, thanks to research, because we can say that researchers somehow assert pace between the commoners and the public authorities. And for example, we have a project in Colombia which focuses on the commons of care in Bogota. And the purpose of the project is really to explore whether public commons partnership for care could offer a different governance model. And there is a big will from the government to put in place this public commons partnership in the care sector. And it's even in the public policies. So the issue is that they know that if they do some public-private contracts as they used to do, it will not work. So they are working with the researchers that we are financing on a new kind of contract.
I mean, that's fascinating. It's sort of how the development process itself is researching and experimenting in the course of administering assistance, because there's both sides can learn from this process. It leads me to wonder about how the World Bank became involved in this conversation. As you know, of course, the World Bank was a publisher of the book you produced with AFD colleagues. And how did the World Bank decide they wanted to explore the commons when they have such a reputation for a rather alternative approach to things than the commons?
Maybe I will start just about the World Bank and their position about the commons. And I will explain what I understand from my position. So it's maybe not completely correct, of course. And as I said, it is important to see people within the institution. So it is the same for the World Bank. I think there is a World Bank policy, and there is inside the World Bank people that are very committed in this kind of topics. So we started our discussions with the World Bank in 2017 because the World Bank devoted at that time a specific report to governance. And it marked a real step toward engaging with political economy and socio-political processes within World Bank projects. However, when you look carefully at the report, you will see that governance remains largely framed through a state-centered lens. And regulation is still understood as public or market-based, so not a lot of change. And you just have half a page on Ostrom, for example, inside a huge report of more than 1,000 pages. So we see that the bank's interest in the common is not a radical ideological shift. It's very, very, very modest, and it's very pragmatic. And I think that, according to me, the bank's engagement with the commons remain mostly instrumental and very sector-specific. They still focus on efficiency and scalability and economic results. But when you read AFD's documents, you will see that AFD has more or less the same discourse officially. Where efficiency, scalability, and economic results are very important. But within AFD, you have this kind of laboratory dedicated to the commons.
I was intrigued when you previously told me that the commons book that you produced was one of the more popular books the World Bank has published. That surprised me. Could you have any speculation on why that may be?
No, I don't have any answer, and I was the first one to be surprised. We were said that the book was part of the flagship reports. The World Bank each year select few books and few publications called the flagship reports, and in 2024, the book on the commons was part of these flagship reports, which was really an unexpected success, I must admit. So I don't have the answer to your question, but concerning why the World Bank accepted the book, I can give you some few words about that. So AFD has a partnership with the World Bank on a specific publication series. I was asked at that time to propose a book for this series. So with my co-editors, Benjamin Coria and Kako Nubukpo, we submitted a concept note to the editorial board of the series. The World Bank's chief economist for Africa was Albert Zofak. To this question, and he said, I really want this topic in this collection. I'm not sure that if I was submitting this project now, it will be possible to publish a book in this collection today. The chief economist has changed and the policy of the World Bank has changed. So you see, it was really a great opportunity.
Given that you now have somewhat of a record for researching, exploring, and demonstrating commons-based projects in the Global South, what's the future hold? What's the status of this project? And are there any short or midterm plans to expand the commons-based development approach?
Well, unfortunately, the situation today is not as positive as we would like. And I think for the moment, we will have more to spend the next few years keeping on working on this topic. But it will be very difficult to have a huge program on commons-based approach. What I see is that AFD is less talking about global commons and is coming back to global public goods because we are just trying to exist today within the political situation in the world and especially in France and in the United States too. So you see, it's for the moment, unfortunately, we will have just to survive. And we will make it possible for the topic to survive within the institution so that when it's possible, we will go more in a more ambitious way to concrete projects and concrete policy making.
Is there any pressure from the bottom up among the people you're assisting who say, we like this approach, we'd like to expand it more? Or is the agenda mostly determined by those who are within France supporting the AFD?
The wish to work on commons and that AFD is financing commons comes mostly from the ground. It comes from our partners in the Global South, and it comes from our partners from the civil society too. And they were very excited that AFD was starting to work on commons, so they want us to keep on working on that.
Who do you regard as your key allies and colleagues in exploring this? Is it mostly people on the ground in the various countries? Or do you have other colleagues, perhaps the World Bank, but in other development agencies who are taking note of what you're doing and wanting to know more?
No, we are invited. As you know, I was invited by the FAO last October to speak about our approach.
The Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, is that correct?
Correct. I think that the interest is more outside the institution than inside the institution itself. I'm always invited in some local authorities in France, by social society in France, but also by colleagues in other institutions. So I think we can survive, but we must be very careful to take care of all these relations.
The impact that you're having through commons-based approach would be the best recommendation for improving it. The book obviously describes many of them, but can you tell me the successes you're most proud of, or the ones you think have really shown how this paradigm can work in a new way?
Well, I have a lot of examples that I am proud of, and we must be collectively be proud of this example, but I would choose maybe one. It's an example, once again, in Brazil, where we focus on urban commons in the cities of Goiás and Goiânia. And in these two cities, there are a lot of community-based practices and commons-based practices. All these groups have little or no institutional recognition. So the projects that we are financing with the University of Goiânia and l'École Polytechnique de Turin, in Italy, really looks at the tension between the richness of these commoning practices and the lack of legal or administrative frameworks to recognize and to support them. So we are trying to take the Italian experience of what we know as the collaboration pact between municipalities and citizen initiatives, and we are trying to see how this experience can inspire Brazilian forms of shared governance. And why it is a success, it's because we started this project less than 1 year ago. It's in November 2025, a municipal bill was already presented to the City Council of Goiânia to recognize common goods and to put some collaboration pacts. So I'm very proud of that. It really shows that there is a huge demand locally by our partners, even if it's difficult for AFD to support that.
That's fantastic. I mean, you're dealing with so many deep challenges as we started this conversation about entire worldviews that are often not even understood as worldviews. They're seen as normal and natural and universal. So a lot of credit for trying to get through these barriers, as well as we've also mentioned, the external funding, administrative rigidity, perhaps lack of public engagement in this. So the victories are sweet when they do come. But as you seem to suggest, this is a long-term process and there's more to be learned. And you mentioned time. This is perhaps not a linear progression, but it may leap forward of its own accord when the moment is ripe. I'm sort of curious if you think that maybe just sticking with this agenda, the nut will crack open at some point and it will become easier after years of research and understanding the challenges to be met.
Well, it is my hope. I'm not sure of that, but it's really my hope. And I already experienced that when El Giro left AFD. Some people said the commons approach, it's not useful to develop this commons approach in a long-term view. But we just continue to work on that, even if we didn't communicate on it, but we finance modest, very interesting research projects so that at the time where the commons came back in the front of the discussion, we had many examples to show, to explain. Everything was very documented. And, you know, people inside AFD really, they want to do their work, their job, the best they can. So it's my job to convince them that they have to look more closely to the commons because they really, really offer a good way to see development for the next decades and maybe to re-question what we are doing every day.
Well, Stephanie, I want to thank you for sharing this story of AFD's bold and rather brave experiment into the commons. I think there's a lot to be learned from it. And we can already see other institutions like the World Bank and the Food and Agriculture Organization being intrigued and wanting to develop some of these ideas further. So I hope that actually happens in the coming years. So thank you for talking with me.
Thank you very much, David. It was a pleasure.